The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What are we supposed to do with 1 John 1:9? You know the verse about confessing our sins? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. We're happy you're along for the ride. You may know that we are taking questions from listeners just like you. And if you'd like to have your questions answered, hopefully you'll send them to us. You can reach us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's jump right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, Bob, are you? I see you have a book there by one of our friends.
It's a book by Lucas Kitchen. I was just...
The voice at the beginning of the podcast.
Yes.
And it's one of his many books. He has lots and lots of books. This one has... this title makes you nervous.
It's a little questionable.
It's called Naked Grace. But no, I have not read Naked Grace yet. Have you read it? It's here.
No.
It's actually on our radio podcast recording table. And so it's right there next to the Bible in the Greek New Testament. So that's got to say something.
It does.
I think Lucas's newest book is something about fruit, but it's not about gardening. It's about...
Christian fruit?
Yeah, Christian fruit. Yeah, something
fruit
like
of the
that.
Spirit.
I really admire that guy. He just writes like crazy. I can barely keep up with him. All right, let's get to the question. Here's one from Steve, and he says, is it possible that we can have a better or at least a deeper understanding of 1 John 1:9 when we know the context of the Gnostic heresy that John was trying to correct? And he says some things about being involved with Campus Crusade for Christ, and basically at the end of his email he says, bottom line, I guess it's always bothered me to hear preaching on this verse using the cause and effect approach, i.e., if you confess your sin, he'll forgive you. Wait, wasn't I already forgiven at the cross when all my sins were in the future? What if I die before I've confessed something? Does that mean I go to heaven with unforgiven sin? That doesn't seem right. I confess that it's less of a problem if you view it as a relationship forgiveness, but it still seems to be a problem to me. I can't be in right relationship until I've made sure I've confessed everything. Doesn't that still lead us into a works-oriented walk?
Okay, well, there's multiple things that Steve is asking. First, let me just briefly discuss the Gnostic question. From my understanding, the Gnosticism didn't really become a full-blown philosophy until well after the first century, late second century, something like that. So I don't think that John was dealing with Gnosticism. I think some people say it was proto-Gnosticism, something that later led to Gnosticism. And Gnosticism is basically the idea that there's some kind of higher knowledge. The Greek word gnosis means knowledge.
Yeah.
There's some kind of higher knowledge that can unleash our lives. And so we're looking for higher knowledge, and that John was writing against that. No, I think he's writing against different types of false teachers who were in some sense denying that Jesus came in the flesh.
Yeah, that seemed to be a major concern for John.
Right. And so that was the major issue. They also were trying to deny assurance of everlasting life. John 2, 24, 25, and 26. This is the promise he has promised us, eternal life. And then he says, these things are writing concerning those who try to deceive you regarding the promise of everlasting life and other things. Now, as other questions, 1 John 1:9, you want to read that one, Sean?
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Okay, so there's two ways to understand that. One way is to say, when we confess a sin, that sin is forgiven. And if we have an unconfessed sin, it's only forgiven if we confess the unknown sin. However, another way to understand this verse is that if we confess the sins of which we're aware, then God not only forgives us of that sin or those sins, but all unrighteousness, meaning all the other sins.
So now Steve's question is, well, didn't that already happen at the cross? Weren't we already completely forgiven at the cross, or maybe if I can kind of tweak it, at the point of faith, weren't we already completely forgiven of everything that we'd ever do?
Well, obviously not if by completely forgiven we mean in a fellowship sense.
This is,
and Steve mentions that in his question.
So this is a distinction that maybe not everyone is familiar with. So what are the different senses of being forgiven?
Well, I'm not sure there are two senses. I'm rethinking this whole issue in light of some interaction I've had with a friend who holds the view that all forgiveness is relational and all forgiveness is contemporaneous with the action that needs forgiveness. In other words, you can't have forgiveness before you commit the offense.
A lot of evangelicals would say, when you believe, you have positional forgiveness. And this is this thing where you're just forgiven past, present, and future of all the sins that you ever have committed or ever will commit. And you just have that position of forgiveness in virtue of being in Christ. And then people would say, but there is also this other category of forgiveness called fellowship forgiveness. And that kind of happens in time, in your experience. You need that forgiveness as you live, as you sin, and then as you confess. And as you confess your sins, then you're forgiven in a fellowship sense. And like you say, some people have challenged that distinction. Is that actually a biblical distinction? And some people say it's all fellowship. And then other people, like hyper-grace people, say it's all position. And
right.
So you're rethinking your position.
I'm rethinking my position, and here's one reason why. Think about it this way. How many times in John's gospel does Jesus say, he who believes in me receives the forgiveness of sins? Let's see, that would be zero. Not once. In fact, he doesn't even mention the forgiveness of sins until after his resurrection to his disciples. That is in John's gospel. We know he talks about forgiveness in the synoptics. But in John's gospel, forgiveness is never mentioned prior to him saying whatever sins you retain will be retained and whatever sins you forgive will be forgiven.
Right.
The only other place is when he washes the disciples' feet, which many take as an illustration of forgiveness, because he says you're clean, but you need your feet washed. And that's an illustration of 1 John 1:9. I'm beginning to think that all forgiveness is fellowship forgiveness, even though I've taught this positional versus fellowship on this very podcast. And I'm beginning to think it's all fellowship sense. In any case, 1 John 1:9 is clearly a fellowship sense. John says that his purpose in writing these things is that they may have fellowship with the apostles and with God. And he says that in 1, 3, and 4.
Mm-hmm.
That's the purpose of the whole book.
Right.
And by the way, in 2:12 through 14, it clearly establishes the readers are believers. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you
right.
for his namesake. I write to you, fathers, because you've known him who is from the... I write to you, young men, you've overcome.
Well, actually, that's an argument for the other side, because they say, well, because the believers are forgiven, but clearly the people in chapter 1 aren't forgiven yet, is the argument that they would make.
When I would make the point that we see a teaching in Scripture, I think it's probably the point in chapter 2, verse 12, your sins are forgiven. That ties in with 1 John 1:9 in the sense that these are people who are walking in fellowship with God,
okay.
so their sins are forgiven.
Right.
But we see something similar in Acts chapter 10 and verse 43, where Peter is evangelizing Cornelius and his household, and he says, all the prophets bear witness that he who believes in him, that is Jesus, the risen Messiah who died and rose again, all who believe in him receive the forgiveness of sins. I believe what he's talking about there is we start the Christian life with a clean slate.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you don't find anywhere in Scripture that the unbeliever needs to confess all of his sins in order to have forgiveness. If 1 John 1:9 is directed to unbelievers, then the unbeliever would have to make a list of every sin they've ever committed.
Right, unless it's confess what you know and God forgives you everything.
Then he'd have to confess every sin he knows.
Right.
Well, how many sins would an unbeliever know?
Is that the same objection to the fellowship view? I mean, you need to confess every sin you know?
Well, it seems to me...
To get fellowship forgiveness?
It seems to me what you're confessing is the sin that you know in your current experience.
Yeah.
In other words, let's say you're a person who has been walking in fellowship with God for years.
Yeah.
You get in an argument with your wife and you raise your voice and say some things you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Well, you acknowledge that to God. That was sin.
Mm-hmm.
You move on. God cleanses you. Basically, the sins we confess are the tip of the iceberg. probably we're unaware of 90% or more of the sins we commit, right?
Right.
So we confess the ones we're aware of and God cleanses us. Now, that's why we're to keep short accounts.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't acknowledged your sins to God in years, you're not going to have to go back and say, I'm going to try to figure out all the sins I've committed. You just acknowledge to God, I have been out of fellowship with you. I have not been walking with you, but I'm going to begin walking in fellowship with you. And then from there forward, you start confessing your sins.
Well, what about this question that Steve has? What if I die before I've confessed something? Does that mean I go to heaven with unforgiven sin? So as a believer, you die out of fellowship.
Well, the forgiveness is a fellowship or familial sort of concept. Once you die, of course, you're going to be in fellowship with God. But the question is, let's say you commit some sin, but you're unaware of it. You haven't confessed it because you're unaware of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you're in fellowship with God. It would only be if you committed some sin and you were in rebellion against God and you're denying that you sinned. Well, then, yes, you would, at the moment of death, not be in fellowship with God. But that's a rather odd situation, and I'm not even sure how that would work because, I mean, obviously God gives us a certain amount of time to acknowledge our sins. If I commit a sin, you know, I'm kind of frustrated about something or other, I may not immediately recognize that as sin. Well, God's convicting me of it, and at some point I recognize it. Well, it would seem to me God's going to give me a lot of grace in terms of that issue. So I think it's kind of trying to cut it too thin to say, well, what happens if I die and there's some sin and I'm unaware of it? Well, then that's taken care of. Well, what if I'm aware of it, but I'm in the process?
Hard to say.
Just hard to
say. We don't know.
Yeah.
But it would be a rewards issue, if anything.
It would be a rewards issue, and I don't think the person would be missing out on ruling with Christ if they have some unconfessed sin in their life at the moment of death, as long as they were still a confessing believer.
Yeah.
Walking with Christ, acknowledging Christ.
All right. Thank you, Steve. He mentions that he's listened to 100 episodes of the podcast so far.
Wow.
And he wants to listen to older ones, but he wonders, does he need to go to the website to do that? And I think that's right. I think you can listen to the top 100 shows on iTunes or whatever, and you have to go to our website to listen to the rest of them. So please do that. Thank you, Steve, and thank you guys for listening.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what a person must believe in order to have eternal salvation. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.